It would be a huge boost to the economy, and that's basically the end of the story. I mean, it would be a great thing. It would be feasible, by the way. A lot of people come up with the argument that, well, they don't have enough net foreign reserves to dollarize. Well, number one, you have to first, the key thing is to get the exchange rate right. I'll give you the exact numbers. Remember I said the U.S. share, the U.S. dollar went from 88.4 to 89.2.
Right.
The Chinese RMB from 2022 to 2025 went from 7.2% to 8.5. But the euro dropped from 30.6 to 28.9.
Yeah. So that's actually a huge move in the currency.
So that's where the action is, and the point here would be, if you had a dollarization strategy with the dollar already being the dominant international currency in the world, I think it would be big. At 4,000 options contracts, the expiration on November 24th, we have 8,800 call contracts and 4,771 put contracts as of this morning. And that means that the calls are outnumbering the puts by almost a 2-to-1.
Yeah.
So that means the betting is that it's going up over 4,000, not below, because the puts are below and the calls are above. And as I say, the call number of calls outstanding today, November 7th, 2025, is about double the puts. So,
very bullish.
And hi, all. Andy here. I got a great guest on with me. He's been on the show several times, and we have a breaking story, but I have Professor Steve Anke. For those who don't know him, he is professor of applied economics at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. He's formerly on the Reagan Council of Economic Advisors. He had the world's best emerging market fund in 1995 with Toronto Trust Argentina in Buenos Aires. He advised President Carlos Menem from 1989 to 1999. It's an honor to have you on again, Professor Anke, and boy, is it timely. You came out with a Financial Times article that you were quoted in the last couple of days. I've gone through it immensely, and I'd love to chat with you about it. First of all, this goes against almost a lot of what I'm reading about. And people that I talk to, they talk about de-dollarization, but I have a theory that it's actually the dollar isn't going anywhere, and it kind of coincides with your article. Work that out for me. Work all of that out for me about dollarization here, specifically with what's going on in Argentina.
Well, the Financial Times report was focusing on the fact that Team Trump has engaged me and spoken with me several times now, and a lot of communication and so forth back and forth about promoting the dollar. That would be encouraging countries to get rid of their local currencies and replace them with the dollar. That's what dollarization is. So you get rid of your local central bank, you get rid of your junk currency that it produces, and you replace it with the U.S. dollar. Now, it turns out, I've done a lot of work on this over the years, written actually many, many books on the topic, and I've actually been the architect and implementer of two dollarizations. One was in Montenegro in 1999, I say dollarization because we replaced the hyperinflating Serbian dinar with the German mark. So the replacement was, we got rid of a local currency and replaced it with a foreign currency. The foreign currency wasn't the US dollar, it was the German mark at the time in 1999. But that's how that generically, that's what they call dollarization. We're just replacing the local currency with a foreign currency. Now, a year later, in 2000, I was the advisor to the finance minister in Ecuador, and we got rid of the sucre, the local currency, and replaced it with the U.S. dollar. So that's one way to dollarize directly. The other way that we're talking about, which is another operation basically, but it accomplishes the same thing, and that is to install a currency board, replace a central bank that has monetary discretion, monetary policy discretion, with a currency board that has no monetary policy. Now, what is a currency board? I've actually done four of these, one in Estonia in 1992 and Lithuania in 1994, Bulgaria in 97, and also in 97, Bosnia and Herzegovina. And in those cases, you issue the local currency. You're still issuing the local currency, but that local currency trades at a fixed exchange rate with an anchor currency, let's say the US dollar, and it's credible because the local currency has to be backed 100% with US dollar reserves or anchor currency reserves. So in that case, the local currency just becomes a clone of whatever the anchor happens to be. So if you have a currency board that's dollar based and that's the anchor, the local currency that you emit is just a clone of the dollar. If you don't like the local currency for whatever reason, you can exchange it at the fixed exchange rate, and you'll be guaranteed you're going to get U.S. dollar reserves because the backing of the local currency is 100% with the anchor currency. So those two mechanisms do what? Well, they promote the use of the dollar, and they counter this narrative and what's been, people are talking about de-dollarization, that especially the BRICS countries, the Global South, China, Russia, let's get away from the dollar. Let's de-dollarize. Well, this is a way to counter that, to dollarize or have a dollar-based or dollar-backed currency board that gets away from the de-dollarization. As it turns out, the de-dollarization, there's a lot of talk about it, but if you actually look at foreign exchange transactions since 2022 until the end of last year, the proportion taken up by the U.S. dollar in those transactions, I'm just going to get the exact number because I made a note of it, having an idea of what we might be talking about, Andy. And again, from 2022 to 2025, U.S. dollar in foreign exchange transactions went from 88.4 in 2022 to 89.2 in 2025. So this whole idea of the narrative surrounding the de-dollarization isn't quite what it's made out to be, but it's still a narrative, and it's something that the Trump administration is, considering, putting a stop to that.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it, and I have this theory too. I was like, if the dollar, I just didn't see the dollar going away. I came to that point. The reason is just because of infrastructure and stability, if you would. My question, though, if Argentina were to do this, number one, why? And I'm assuming you've already answered that question, but I'd like you to answer it again. Why specifically them? Is this because of coming from Milei, who's pretty much a libertarian? Correct me if I'm wrong. That's number one. And number two, would they experience, they might get stability, but would they experience a lot of deflation in doing that?
No, the the Argentine story, by the way, as part of this process, working with Team Trump, I've evaluated the countries that are have good potential candidates to dollarize, shall we say. I have the top 50, and obviously Argentina's right up on the top of the list. You've also got Lebanon, you've got Pakistan, you've got Turkey, you've got Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Ghana, and on down. You got 50 of them that are prime candidates that I've evaluated. So let's talk about Argentina, because Milei won the election and became president by promising that they were going to get rid of the central bank and the peso and replace the peso with the U.S. dollar.
This is huge news. Go ahead.
That hasn't happened yet. And he's kind of put it on the back burner. And this is really, I think, for him, his Achilles heel is the peso. In other words, he's deregulating the economy. He's getting the fiscal house cleaned up, but he's got the peso. And what does that mean? That means the following. Since 1995, I've calculated that they've incurred $177 billion worth of debt in Argentina. And what's happened? About 75% of that debt that they've incurred actually leaves Argentina through the back door with capital flight. It doesn't stay in Argentina. So as a result of that, let's just do the following little bench calculation. Let's assume you borrow $100 and the interest rate is 8% on it, which is about the average interest rate that Argentina is paying on its debt. That means to service the debt, you have to come up with $8 every year. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that means the $100 that you borrow, you've got to invest it in some way that you are able to generate free cash flow of $8 just to service the debt. Now, in Argentina, it doesn't work that way because, as I said, 75% of what you borrow exits the back door via capital flight, so you're only left with 25 to invest. And the 25 invested to generate 8 would have to earn a 32% rate of return. It wouldn't have to get 8% like our first example where you had $100 being invested, generating 8, and at 8%, you service the debt and so forth. So you can see they're in basically a doom loop in Argentina, and that's why they're the world's biggest deadbeat. They have defaulted domestically on their debt multiple times and internationally multiple times. And they have a huge debt servicing requirement coming up next year. So this is why the peso is the Achilles heel of Milei, because why do you have the capital flight? People mm-hmm. don't want to stay in the peso and they don't want to stay in Argentina. So if you dollarized, you'd have a huge confidence shock. You'd have you forget the capital flight, that would stop. So any direct foreign investment that came into the country would stay. Any debt that was incurred, it would stay in the country. You wouldn't have this exit through the back door with capital flight going on all the time. So it would be a huge boost to the economy. And that's basically the end of the story. I mean, it would be a great thing. It would be feasible, by the way. A lot of people come up with the argument that, well, they don't have enough net foreign reserves to dollarize. Well, number one, you have to first, the key thing is to get the exchange rate right. You said something about, well, if they dollarized, wouldn't they have deflation? No, if they got the exchange rate right, that wouldn't be a problem. And to do that, you'd do it like in Bulgaria when I put in the currency board in 1997. we froze the monetary base. We announced we were going to do a currency board. We froze the monetary base for 30 days and let the currency, the Bulgarian lev, float. And then at the end of that period, so, you know, what were the values over the 30 days and what were the ending value? And we looked at that. We did also some bench calculations, and we came up with what we thought was a fair value for the exchange rate. And of course, what happened? The inflation rate, which was hyperinflating at the time at 242% per month, we crushed that. In a matter of 30 days, the thing was down to the single digits. And also, if you look over the next year after we put in the currency board, the foreign reserves, the economy boomed. It came out of a huge depression. Inflation was eliminated. The money market interest rates in a year after we put that in were 2%, actually. And the foreign exchange reserves tripled in 1 year. So that's what happens when you get rid of a junk currency and replace it. In the case of Bulgaria, the Bulgarian lev became a clone of what? The mighty German mark. And everything boomed. So in Argentina, they tried something like, it was kind of a pseudo currency board. It was called convertibility. And they put it in April of 1991. It did crush the hyperinflation. So that part was fine. And the economy boomed along. But in October of 1991, I wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal. And I advised Menem on this. I said, this thing is going to blow up, this convertibility system. Because it's not a currency board. It allowed for monetary discretion. And they used that monetary discretion. And of course, ultimately, the thing blew up. I recommended in October of 1991, they should get rid of the central bank and change the system, either to an orthodox currency board or else just dollarize the thing outright. Now, I think the best thing to do is do what Malay said that he was going to do, and that's just outright dollarize, get rid of the central bank and be done with it. But the feasibility issue is an issue, and it turns out that what you need are gross foreign reserves at whatever the exchange rate is after this 30-day period, for example. I'm getting back to the Bulgaria story. So what you do, you freeze the monetary base, you let the exchange rate float for 30 days, and then you make a determination, well, what is the fair value for the exchange rate that we're going to use to exchange the outstanding peso notes that are outstanding for foreign reserves that are at the central bank? And they have enough, by the way. It isn't the net is not what you need. You need gross foreign reserves enough to exchange at whatever the exchange rate is that you come up with the outstanding monetary base, M sub zero. And the rest is easy to do. Everything else in the economy, you just do it digitally. You just say the new exchange rate is this, and all the pesos you've got on your books, everything in pesos now, you convert those to dollars at that exchange rate, and that's it. It's all feasible. And just for the record, I did this in Ecuador, where the central bank was insolvent. The net foreign exchange reserves were negative, but the gross were positive, and the gross were ample to exchange all the outstanding sucre notes and a sucre monetary base that was outstanding at the time. So there was no problem, and there would not be a problem in Argentina. Contrary to many people who argue that it's not feasible, well, they don't know what they're talking about, Andy, and they don't know what they're talking about in principle. They don't realize that it's this gross that you need to do the conversion. And they also don't realize that they have no practical experience unlike yours truly, they've never done one of these things.
Right. Come see Professor Steve Hanke, I was going to say, please do. So this is really ingenious here, but in many ways I have several questions I was writing down, but really the first question, do you think, what are the probabilities of them actually doing this? And from what I'm gathering from you, they will basically do away with the central bank in Argentina, correct?
Well, if they would do what Milei proposed to do, they would get rid of the central bank and they would dollarize. And what the probabilities, it's hard to put your finger on it. I think that the probability of doing this would be extremely high if President Trump, who's a pal of President Milei, said this is what we're going to do, or this is what you should do. Not this is what we are going to do, but shall we say? President Trump gave the dollarization in Argentina a little nudge, it would be done. The probability would be, you know, virtually a shoe-in. It would be baked in the cake.
Okay, so what's in it for President Trump, or what's in it for the U.S.?
Well, what's in it for the U.S.? Number one, the whole strategy would be to counter the de-dollarization thing. You'd have it would be a great thing for Argentina. You'd have an economic boom. You'd have everybody in Latin America climbing all over themselves to copy the thing and dollarize. So it would be very good for the U.S. wants a strategy for inserting itself and in having more influence in Latin America. Well, there's no better way to do it than getting rid of all the crummy currencies in Latin America, replacing them with the U.S. dollar, like they have in Panama for over 100 years, mm-hmm. like they have in Ecuador since 2000, like they have in El Salvador since 2001. All these places are, those three are officially dollarized. You have to realize, Andy, that unofficially, Latin America is already dollarized.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not officially, but everybody has dollars, and the number of dollars under the mattress in Argentina are way greater than the monetary base in pesos.
Right. You know, it reminds me, I was in Costa Rica, this was about a year ago, and again, Costa Rica, relatively, a very stable country in Latin America, and just in Costa Rica, I was paying at restaurants or just even on the street in dollars. It was absolutely no problem at all. In fact, they preferred that. So that's anecdotal, but...
Well, you go any place, you have to realize that 70% of the dollar notes that exist in the world don't circulate in the United States. They circulate overseas.
Right.
You get in a taxi any place in Turkey or you name it, and you ask the taxi driver, well, do you want Turkish lira or dollars? And they'll say, we want dollars.
Yep. It brings to mind a friend of mine who's an attorney in Australia. He's an American in Australia and does... And this is another place I want to get to, does business all over East Asia and all over Asia. And he tells me, Andy, de-dollarization will never happen. I said, and this is when I was in that camp. I said, why? He goes, because everybody wants dollars. And again, very anecdotal, but all of the people that he does business with and does business at a high up, they all want dollars. He can't get his money out of the countries if it's in the local currency, as a matter of fact. So,
yeah, exactly. So, The numbers match up with the anecdotal, and if you actually go to a country and ask, would you rather have the government issue this local currency that's junk or replace it with the U.S. dollar? If you had a referendum on this, the dollarization would be take to all these countries.
Yep.
If you had a fair referendum, you would have the world would largely become dollarized officially, Now it largely is unofficially. We want to make it official. And the reason for that, by the way, just getting back to Argentina, that I've indicated they're a deadbeat. They default on their debt rather regularly. They also have banking crises rather regularly. They also have balance of payments crises regularly. They also have currency crises regularly. All of that stuff would be eliminated if they just dollarized. So you'd have higher rates of growth. You'd have more stability, and stability might not be everything, but everything is nothing without stability. And in addition to that, you would have a tighter fiscal situation because you wouldn't have a central bank that was loaning money to the government. That's how the inflation and instability gets created. The government spends too much. They run a big deficit. And to finance it, they go to the central bank and say, oh, we got some wonderful paper to sell you. And the central bank says, fine. And they just turn on the printing press and buy it.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things there. Let's make some assumptions here that Argentina does do this. Let's make that assumption. And I can definitely see the biggest, what gets in it for the U.S. is influence. And that is, I'm underselling that because I think that is it. And that's huge, right? Okay.
Well, that's huge. But the big beneficiary would be Argentina.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I could see a bunch of capital flooding into the economy, if you would, just because it's safe, it's stable, if you would. And Argentina has a huge population and huge natural resources, which could easily be then sold to be a boom for Argentina, if you would. Work out for me, though, taking that as a test case, what other, you mentioned some other countries that were on the list, and then the administration asked for those countries. But what would you see other countries, or what other countries would be close to adopting this if this were implemented?
Well, it depends on if the U.S. had a policy, a pro-dollarization, pro-dollar-based currency board strategy and policy, the whole game would change. Because now
awesome.
one reason that we get pushback on dollarization, and I had pushback on it in Ecuador, for example, from what? The International Monetary Fund.
Yes.
The International Monetary Fund is a real problem because they have the view that every country should have their own currency, every country should have their own central bank. Why? So they can fine-tune the economy and smooth out business cycles and so forth. No, the central banks make it more volatile.
Yeah,
they do just the opposite, and they also do it mainly because they're running the printing press in overdrive to finance fiscal deficits that arise. They monetize the fiscal deficit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So, what does this actually mean? Well, let me ask this first. They'll be beholden to the Fed, though, then, correct?
So what? The Fed's going to do a much better job than the local central banks do, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what exactly then... you mentioned in that article you talked about stable coins here.
By the way, that just to clarify, that was a report in the Financial Times. I didn't write the article.
Yeah, I'll link to it in this interview. I'll link to it in the show notes.
They actually, if you go through the thing, they had five reporters on this on that article. If you look at the article, there were three main reporters led by Claire Jones, and then you had two additional ones at the bottom. The correspondent in Argentina, as well as a Latin American editor.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'll link to it.
But you had Claire Jones in Washington D.C. You had a FT reporter in New York. You had an FT reporter in London, and you had the Latin American editor and the correspondent, the FT correspondent in Buenos Aires. So they had a heavy duty team on that article.
Yeah, they did. And I read it, and you sent it to me the other day, and my jaw hit the ground. It really did. I was like, are they actually going to do this? And it's very encouraging that it's being discussed at such a high level, if you would. Talk to me about stable coins. What's the plan for that? That was a little confusing to me. How would that play a role in all of this?
Well, the stable coins, they've already embraced the stable coin. We have the Genius Act in the United States. Trump was for that. And then Scott Bessent, the Secretary of Treasury, likes the dollar-based stable coin, which is private. It's not public or governmental. And he likes it because under the U.S. jurisdiction, those stable coins would have to be backed by what? U.S. treasuries.
Right.
So you at the margin, you're increasing the demand for U.S. treasuries, which of course Bessent likes because he's the one issuing the treasuries.
Right. So play this out a little bit further. My audience is very, they're investors in natural resources and gold, and that's and that. What is that? Does that have any implications on the on gold? Does it have any implications on natural resources? And the only thing I can think of really is just that it'll make these countries more stable for investment. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it for commodities, it would the world growth rate would it would increase. So that's so
Great answer.
if you're growing more rapidly, you're using more natural resources. So it's bullish.
Yeah, great answer. Professor, anything else that really, and again, I want to thank you so much for this. I am eternally grateful for you discussing this with me.
Well, I think the one thing, since you did mention gold, as you know, I'm a bull, and I think the secular bull market will peak out at around $6,000 an ounce. But in the meantime, it has pulled back, and it's consolidating tightly around $4,000 an ounce. And so the question is, is the market still intact? Is the bull market still intact? And the answer is pretty much yes, if you just look at the data. Because if we look at the options market, the consolidation around 4,000 is confirmed because this strike price of 4,000 and expiration of the contract at 4,000 options contracts, the expiration on November 24th, we have 8,800 call contracts and 4,771 put contracts as of this morning. And that means that the calls are outnumbering the puts by almost a 2-to-1
Yeah.
mark. So that means the betting is that it's going up over 4,000, not below, because the puts are below and the calls are above. And as I say, the call number of calls outstanding today, November 7th, 2025, is about double the puts. So
Very bullish.
it's bullish. And I use 4,000 because the price is pretty much stuck and consolidating, been consolidating for about a week at around 4,000. Let me just see what it is right now.
It's right around 4,000 as of today. I just checked earlier this morning. I'll tell you, 4,000, 4,007.
Yeah, right. So that's where we are in gold. The bull market's intact. The secular bull, I think, will end at $6,000, around $6,000, peak out at around $6,000 an ounce, and we'll just have to wait for this consolidation phase to run its course. But it looks like the options market is telling us it's going to run up, not down.
Got it. You know, I'm just thinking through this, just the last 30 minutes here, and it's just, this has just has profound implications. And I want to say not only for Argentina and Latin America, but really potentially to whoever does this, and also the U.S. And it's just very interesting to me, just the current administration's policy, if you would. They've been on record as many, whether that's Bessette or whoever, just how about they want a strong dollar, if you would. They want the U.S. to be reserve currency, really.
Well, they haven't articulated, though. Let's make this clear. What we've been talking about, we've been discussing this, but they haven't enunciated the actual strategy yet. They haven't made a decision. So you have to be very clear. This is something under discussion. It hasn't been finalized. And we haven't had Trump speaking about it, for example, but it would be big. I think to put it in context, we've only had two huge currency reforms really since World War II. One was the Bretton Woods Agreement, 1944, that locked most of the big currencies into, pegged them together, linked them together. That was, of course, ultimately abandoned for real in 1973, and we went towards floating. And then the next one was 1999. We had the Eurozone created, which is essentially the same thing as the dollarization zone. What happened with the Eurozone? We had all the local currencies. Remember, I mentioned the Deutschmark. We replaced the Serbian dinar with a Deutschmark. Well, the Deutschmark disappeared when the Eurozone was formed, and the French franc did, and so on and so on. All the member countries gave up their local currency and replaced it with a new currency, the euro. So dollarization, you have to think about it. It wouldn't be a currency union as the Eurozone. But in effect, from an economic point of view, it'd be the same thing.
So if
this was a strategy, and if this was enunciated as the policy that the U.S. was encouraging, it would be, I think, in the same order of magnitude as the Bretton Woods or the Eurozone establishment.
If not more, if not bigger. So
could be, because by the way, the Eurozone, the euro trading and foreign exchange is actually as a share of the total, it's actually fallen since 2022.
Yeah.
The one that's come up and replaced it, the Chinese, has gone up a little bit. That just to get the percentages, because I did again write these down, thinking that we might be talking about it today. And I'll give you the exact numbers. Remember, I said the U.S. share, the U.S. dollar, went from 88.4 to 89.2.
Right.
The Chinese RMB from 2022 to 2025 went from 7.2% to 8.5, but the euro dropped from 30.6 to 28.9.
Yeah. So that's actually a huge move in the currency.
So that's where the action is, and the point here would be, if you had a dollarization strategy with the dollar already being the dominant international currency in the world, I think it would be big.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Professor Hanke, I want to thank you so much for this. I really can't thank you enough. I'm very, very grateful. You're a busy guy. I'd love to talk with you very briefly offline, but thank you so much for this. I'll put everything in the show notes below, and all of your contact that I can, I'll put in the show notes if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that'll be great. And also my most recent book, Making Money Work.
Isn't that on Amazon?
Yes.
Okay, I will link to it.
It was published by Wiley and issued in May.
I remember that. We discussed it last time you were on. I will add that to the show notes as well, put it in the description. And I have not bought a copy yet, but guaranteed I will buy a copy as soon as I'm off this call with you.
Okay, good.
All right.